Praise the Lord. We are supposed to share on the topic love. Four-letter word. Yet, that is what is at the core of Christianity. Why do we say that love is at the core of Christianity? If you go to Mark 12, 30 to 31, God commands us to love. God says, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is God's commandment, and that is why I said love is at the core of Christianity. If we say we are Christian, we are supposed to obey God's commands, and God has commanded. What else can be bigger than this? And this command covers everything that is about our living. Love yourself, love your neighbor, and love your creator, who is God. Do you know some of us do not love ourselves? Are we aware that some of us, we do not love ourselves? Sometimes we don't know, but the truth of the matter is that we don't love ourselves. A prophecy came about unforgiveness. Somebody has wronged you, and you have decided that till thy kingdom come, you will bear this in your heart. How big is your heart to bear such a thing forever? Yet some of us decide to punish ourselves. Sometimes even the person we have the grudge against is not aware. Is it not true? So do we love ourselves? You wake up, and all you want to do to yourself is to drink liquor, apet, throughout the whole day until you become a dangling modifier. SS mathematics. You have heard about dangling modifier. Do you love yourself? You are a student. Your parents have sent you to school. You are not the one paying the fees. People have to go to John, you know John, to wait, to pay their own fees. You are very lucky, you have somebody paying your fees. Just sit down. Even if the 40 minutes every day, you will pass your exam by God's grace. This one you cannot do. Do you love yourself? And now, if you do not love yourself, how can you ever love your neighbor? But God is commanding us just to do this. Love yourself, love your neighbor, and love God, your creator. We are told in Romans 13:8-10 that love fulfills the law. Love fulfills the law. So if you are desirous of being obedient, of being patriotic, and all of those things, and there is no love in your heart, then I'm afraid our Christianity is not complete. Unfortunately, this word love, 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 what does it mean? What's the meaning of love? We have confused everybody, all of us sitting here, we have our definitions for love, isn't it? The child has a definition for love. When the child says, mama loves me, maybe that mama buys biscuits, toffee, isn't it? For the child. And that's how the child defines the fact that mama loves me. The young men and women have their own definition of love. Infatuation. You meet a young person, you get attracted, you are confused up there and you say you have fallen in love. While meanwhile you are standing. And then you say you have fallen in love. It doesn't matter how we define this love. But what is important is how God defines the word. Because at the end of the day, we are going to be judged by God's definition, not our definition of love. Isn't it? If you decide to get infatuated, you are highly elated and you feel that you have fallen in love. Thanks be to God that you have found the one you want to live with. But be warned that that kind of love can only last maximum 1 year. And that is why many marriages after 1 year, they drift into problems. At that point, if you don't replace that infatuated love with real love, which we are coming to define, forget about the marriage. Then you sit down and ask, is it the guy I met and I was so happy? Or something has come over him? Nothing has come over him. You didn't love him. You loved his money. You loved his car. You entered his house and saw a beautiful house and you fell in love with that one. You went in and realized that vanity upon vanity, everything is vanity. That the man who possessed those cars and houses has an empty heart. Then you begin to ask yourself, or the gentleman, you see a lady, you know, when they are still searching, they are so humble. If you say lie down, she will lie down. That's infatuated love. Give her 1 year. After that 1 year, you say one word, she will say three. And you will never win the argument. Then you begin to ask yourself, is it this girl I met some time ago and she was so humble or whatever? No. You met somebody you thought was the girl, but that is not the girl. We can define it whichever way we want, but as Christians, as I said, we need to know that God's definition is what works. And what does the Bible tell us? Bible says from John 3:16 that God himself is love, and that love comes from God. Contrary to our definition of love, this love is unconditional. I will come to the word. You don't have to love me because I have given you money. Or you don't have to love me because you are sure that you always sit in an air-conditioned car. And mothers, these days, that's how we define who our daughters should marry. True or false? Some of us have become victims. But God has proven the world wrong. The fact that the person is looking that miserable doesn't mean the person has no future. Are you God? If you say you love your neighbor, you don't have to attach conditions to those love. You are living with somebody in the same house, and you don't want to have anything to do with this person because she has a bitter mouth. She has a bitter mouth. So you have attached some conditions to loving the person. That is not how God wants us to love. That is why today the reading given is so challenging. And from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 to 13, and it goes like this. I may be able to speak the languages of human beings and even of angels, but if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gun and a clanging bell. I may have the gift of inspired teaching. I may have all knowledge and understand all secrets. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains. But if I have no love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have and even give up my body to be burnt. But if I have no life, this does me no good. Amen. Did we hear that? The reading is not completed. I will come and complete it. The Bible tells us, without love, all that has happened here is nothing. Do we agree? Does that mean next time we come, we should be singing praise and worship? Eh? We will sing. But if you are here jumping and knowing that you have anything against your neighbor, all that you are doing here is nothing. And that's what the Bible means. During worship, most of us were blowing in tongues. Isn't it? Yet the Bible says, if there is no love in your heart, all of that which happened is nothing. So how do we love? Sometimes the problem is not that we don't want to do the thing. We don't even know it. And we don't even know how to do it. We don't know what it is. So how can I practice it? And should God blame me for not knowing love and therefore not practicing it? Yes, God will blame you, because if you say the scriptures, you will know what it is. I'm now continuing with the reading. He says, love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. That's why I said, when I was reflecting the reading, at a point in time, I got afraid. Can you? Do we have it? How many of us are patient with our neighbor, even with ourselves, let alone with God? You want something, you try, one, you don't get, two, you do not get, then you begin to complain. Is it not true? Then we begin to complain. Why? Am I the only one? You are not the only one. That is true. But are you the only one who is going through that situation? And once you don't become patient with yourself, it becomes a barrier for God to answer that prayer. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered, and it is not selfish or irritable. It is either my way or there is no way. Isn't it? Yes, I'm the man of the house, and God has asked me to be the leader of the house. So if it is not my way, forget about it. That is selfishness. It's not love. And the Bible says, love is not selfish. Love does not keep record of wrongs. And this one is the women. Your husband has done something against you today. You will get into the bedroom, pick a pen and a paper, and record. Today's date is 19th May, 2014. My husband did A, B, C, D to me. So that tomorrow, if he is denying because he wants to patch up, you will go back and open the thing and say, "Guys, remember, I got it and I said I will be. Come and see it." We are told that love does not keep record of what? Wrongs. But God will make a way. Amen. Love is not happy with evil. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Do we know that the truth is painful? Are we aware that truth is very painful? Unfortunately, because of the pain with which it comes, we don't want to speak it, but that pain is very liberating. And that is why if you want to truly love, if you genuinely say you love somebody, you must look the person in the face and say, as for this one, this time, you have missed the point. Let the person hate you for saying that. But the person will regret it later on by that too. But you want to make somebody happy. How can you tell the painful truth to somebody when you know that it will hurt the person? Love never gives up. And its faith, hope, and patience never fails. Our parents here, you give birth to a child, and as the child grows, meets so many challenges in life, you begin cursing God for giving you that child, yet you claim you love the child. If your daughter has made a mistake and is pregnant, that doesn't mean you should throw her away with the pregnancy. Amen? That doesn't mean you should go telling the whole world how spoiled your daughter is. How would that change her? At that point in time that you are disowning her because she had made a single mistake in her life, how will she ever come back? Tell me. They say love never gives up. And that is why when Jesus Christ decided that for the love of mankind, he will come down to earth to journey through the cross. At a point in time, even God in Jesus was complaining. It was painful for him. Is it not true? Why did he pray, Father, if this cup, and who will complete it for me? If it is possible, let this cup pass me by. But let it not be my will, but your will. Do you think it was easy for the guy? Otherwise, at the point in time, he will never. Yet, what was before him was the end result, that he sees us through our liberation. Otherwise, at a point in time, he would have thrown away that cross and he had the power. He didn't even need to throw away the cross. He would have used that same cross to whip those people who were asking him to carry the cross. But he decided to bear that true and true. The problem is that many of us are very good starters, but we are very poor finishers. Very good starters, but very poor finishers. And probably that is why you can marry up to 2-3 times without success in any of the marriages. Praise the Lord. I'm still continuing with the reading. I haven't finished. It says, love is eternal. There are inspired messages, but they are temporary. There are gifts of speaking in strange tongues, but they will cease. There is knowledge, but it will pass. For our gift of knowledge and of inspired messages are only partial. But when what is perfect comes, then what is partial will disappear. When I was a child, my speech, feelings, and thinking were all those of a child. Now that I have grown up, I have no more use for childish ways. What we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete. As complete as God's knowledge of me. Meanwhile, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of them is what? Love. Don't think if you kill yourself out of hopelessness, people will not have hope in Jesus. Amen? People will continue to hope in the cross of the Lord. If you choose that you won't go to church because you think God has forsaken you, that will not stop people from going to church. If you choose you won't go to church because your husband is a church leader and yet when he comes home, he doesn't have mercy on you, Don't think that other women will not go to church. They will go to church and continue to hope in the Lord. Sometimes when I'm speaking on these things, I don't like it myself because I know the person is already suffering. This is not the time to tell the person the blunt truth. But you see, that is what is liberating. If you are going through any pain, you have either missed one of these three. Either you do not have enough faith, enough hope, or enough love. That is the bottom line. I have experienced it, that's why I'm saying it. Do you know that sometimes we elicit the responses we get from people by our behavior, by our attitudes, and by our actions? And when we get those responses, we then tend to complain. That's why I started by saying that we don't love ourselves. The person who ever stood before a whole church and said, "I will love you till death do us part." Love doesn't mean infatuation. It means to care, to cherish, and to be patient with the person. Yet, for those of us that belong, now I'm coming to myself. She wants to say one word, and by the time she finishes, you have finished analyzing that thing and you have the answer ready. It is not that quick answer that she wants. If she wants to empty her heart and you are giving quick responses, is that caring? Is it your knowledge she wants? If you are that knowledgeable, go and look for people who need that knowledge and then you can lecture them. Your wife doesn't need your degrees. Amen? That's not what she needs. It is your heart she needs. Now I'm talking to myself. Amen. Children, do you know that sometimes you don't love your parents enough? Your father is still struggling to get you your Christmas dress. And every day, you are on dada and mama. You are adding more pain because dada and mama are already struggling, thinking and wanting to find out where to get money to buy you that Christmas dress. And you are on dada and mama. Isn't it? I ever said it here, so I won't say it again. Before they say, that is my attitude. I should say it. Yes, I call one. When I don't have, don't think I'm happy that I cannot provide. So, come on, they will throw my agalere in a gangwari. Take a mati ga yinu e dan. Kapa, I'm not a mama ga yinu, and I'm not a woman. Amen. If you decide you won't cook with the little that you have, come on, hotel, mama, tell you know. Look, the truth of the matter is, if your man is out there, don't conclude that he is out there enjoying individual. Sometimes, anyway, I don't blame you. You are not a man. You don't know how it feels to be like one. And the women, we shouldn't blame them. You are not one, and you don't know how it feels like to be a woman. The point is that, amen. Let's continue. So, this kind of love that God is asking us to practice is not one that you practice because you have something in return or because you know the person so much, that is when you practice that love. Your neighbor, who is your neighbor? My neighbor is not Brajon because I have come to know Brajon at prayer meeting. Somebody ever told me, I don't know whether it still happens, my banatana, tenda pera, awongolo, abo lora, Mawa paranoia. The name given to us, those of us who come and pass, ka paragara devela. So even when the car has an accident and somebody is coming, they will be over the first to get there. When they realize they are not people from Wa or they are not Wala. Oh, kada dredawa ka para gare de mena ka ti yiri de mena ne eh that is how much we can show love to our neighbor. Yes, yet Jesus challenges us to the extent of saying that we should love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. This man Jesus, I don't know whether he really thinks all of us are like him. No, he should forgive me if I'm wrong. But sometimes it's better to ask the right questions. My enemy, I should love my enemy and pray for those who persecute me. Anyway, he has gone through persecution and he knows what it is. But you imagine this day and era where Boko Haram will be landing bombs everywhere. After my house is destroyed by a bomb, the only prayer I can offer to God is to punish them. Amen? Yeah. But that is not what God asks of us. God says we should pray for them so that they may see his light and change and come to him. Otherwise, St. Paul would never have become St. Paul. Will he have become St. Paul? He persecuted the church and Jesus decided to ask him. Jesus spoke the truth. He asked him the right question. So, why are you persecuting me? Do you have any good cause to persecute me? If you have, tell me, and then I'll give you the go ahead. Then the man fell down flat on the ground. Because he didn't have any cause. Timine let him walk. You can't even explain. You just see my face and it looks like this is a face you shouldn't like and it's enough. Amen? Is that not true? If I'm ugly, am I the one who created myself? And you decide that because I am this way, you won't like me. Ah, go ahead. Look, I'm funky. You will be killing yourself. But if I get to know why that you don't like me, I will ask you why you don't like me. If you have good reasons, I give you the go ahead. So if you ever have any cause to know that somebody doesn't like you, confront the person with prayer. And let the person respond, and you see if the person will not fall on the ground and begin to apologize like St. Paul and say, from now on, I will fight your cause. Do you know? There are so many good things we can get as Christians if we choose to love. We are told every day to love God, love sinners, love your neighbor, and everything. Now, let us not make any mistake. When God tells us to love sinners, God is not asking us to love sin. The two are not the same. And that is why you can pray for your enemy. Because the evil that is in the person is not the person. God created man in his own image. Isn't it? And the devil decided that he would sow seeds of discord among men. The devil will only be successful if you allow the devil. If you run to God, that's all. So if you see somebody, the person is in a certain situation, instead of sympathizing with the person, the first instinct is always to judge the person. Bam! When he was on the cross, is he not the one who was saving people? Let him save himself. Yet, for our sake, he chose to be on the cross, and we decided to condemn him. And see, Jesus didn't love the Jews because he expected any good thing from them. Indeed, he came because of the evil that was in them, and he loved them in such a way that he wanted to liberate them. And as I said, the truth is painful. So, wanting to be comfortable in their sinful nature, they decided that, let's hang him on the tree. Let disgrace him. Let the world know that he is a bad person. Then all the good things he said will end because he will have nobody to continue. But that is a lie. Good will always conquer evil, whether you like it or not. If you like, if you have never practiced it, if you like from today, go and start. Deliberately, when you wake up and your child or your husband or your whatever wants to make you angry, deliberately refuse to be angry. Amen? You think it's impossible? I'll show you how. It is very possible. The problem is that we don't know how to make choices. Eh? We can adequately love if we make the appropriate choices. I'll tell you how to do that. My father ever said, anytime the wives were so wild on him, he would just take his gada. You know gada? The basket. Okay? After some time, he would come back. Is she still there? Is she still angry? I'm going somewhere again. It doesn't make me a coward. It makes me a man. Eh? It makes me a man. So what are the benefits of love? We have already been told that love fulfills the law. It builds others. See, when I'm already struggling, that is not the time to judge me. It is the time to understand me. And when you understand me, I get to know that somebody cares, that somebody supports. Most of the time, we do the wrong things. The reason we don't care about people or we don't love people is because we always take the wrong decision first time. Somebody is in pain, and all you are thinking about is that if you go near the person, you have to remove money. Who says it's money the person wants? Sometimes it is just somebody to talk to. A listening ear. Including me. Sometimes we don't have the patience to give that ear. Papa, do you know why sometimes our husbands go out? But that's not an excuse for any man to go out of. See, if the man has never had any understanding word from the wife, to the extent that he thinks it is drink that can console him, then he goes out there to the beer bar. A simple word like welcome from a poor bar servant is enough to charm that man, and he won't come back home. He will be pursuing that poor girl just because of the word welcome. After all, he has never heard the word in his lifetime. True or false? He has never heard the word in his lifetime. And when this poor girl who wants to increase her sales says welcome, it is immediately misinterpreted, because that welcome has filled a vacuum that has been created for a long time. And if you see how a hungry lion pursues a lame antelope, then you understand what I'm talking about. Love is the greatest of the three greatest things we have in the world: faith, hope, and love. And love is the greatest. I was reading a book, a certain book, psychology book. It's on aging and dying. And little boy, I don't know why I also decided, this was long ago, I don't know why I decided to go and pick a book on aging and dying, little boy, to read. And I discovered that the only time any human being decides to leave this world, saying you are dead, is when the person gives up hope. And that is why you can see somebody sick, completely sick, but the person is still breathing. Now, this is how I interpret that. It is only when you transfer your hope away from this earth to God that you can move. But so long as you continue to hope in the earthly things, no matter your pain, you want to remain here. So if you have a situation and you do not think that God can meet you and give up hope, that's a dangerous thing. And you cannot have this hope if you do not have faith in God. I don't know. I said, Jesus Christ, his words, they were too mighty. That I should have knowledge that I will get the thing I'm asking for, even though I haven't seen it. I need Anyway, he said it, that we are a wicked generation. We are all looking for signs and wonders. Isn't it? Today, the most flourishing churches are those ones where signs and wonders are performed. Faith works by love, and love covers a multitude of sins. Now let's find out, going through the passage, whether it is possible, I hope I'm not spending too much time, whether it's possible to practice this love. The passage says, love is patient. Is it impossible to be patient with somebody? You can make a choice to be patient. The person doesn't have to be familiar to you. The person doesn't have to be your friend. If you recognize the divinity of God in the person, you can choose to be patient even with your enemy. And that was what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It was a choice he made. You can choose to be patient with your barking wife, if that is how you want to describe her. As if you have gone to a lovely person you met yesterday, today you say the person is barking. Yes, you can still choose to be patient with such a person. That one is completely your choice. The reason you can do that is when you recognize that the thing being practiced in her is not of God. Then you can be patient with the person. Okay? You can be patient towards somebody without liking the person. Who says you are like the person before you become patient with the person? I don't have to like you before I become patient. If I know the benefits of being patient, I can do it. Because that word is healing to me, myself. If you decide to be patient with the person, you will get irritated, develop BP and die, but the person will be there. Amen? We can choose to be kind without any emotional bond. And this is what many daddy bus don't know how to do. You have money. You have seen a poor girl struggling to pay her fees. You choose to be kind enough to pay the girl's fees. After that, you want to take her to bed. That is not love. If genuinely you want to be kind towards this poor girl, you can be kind without any emotional attachment. At that point in time, you want to make somebody's life better by paying the person's fees, period. It doesn't mean take advantage after that. If you realize you are jealous towards somebody, you can challenge yourself, indeed, rebuke yourself. This is what we don't do. Many of us, we don't do that. Man, know thyself. Do we know ourselves? We are always right. They are always wrong. If you are that kind of person, who am I to judge? You better seek God. And we are coming to seek God today. If you find out that you are jealous towards anybody because the person has something or a certain talent you do not have, go back inside your room and insult yourself and ask God to forgive you and see the amount of energy that you will have. Amen? It is possible to do that. You mustn't allow yourself to be jealous. You must not. It's a useless force. It will not take you anywhere. Indeed, you will remain where you are or go 3 steps backwards. Do you think God created us to suffer? I don't believe in it. So why do you think that you must be the tallest figure among the 5 figures? That's why I said some of these topics, maybe we'll turn them into seminars. Amen? Okay. Now, if you are the one who is being wronged, if somebody is acting in a certain way that you do not like, you still have a choice to make. You can choose not to take into account the person's wrongs. Just ignore. That word, ignore, it used to be difficult for me until I learned the practical meaning of it. Do you know that somebody can be talking ill about you and you won't hear? You can make that decision. You are sitting by the person. The person is saying something that is not pleasant. Just refuse to hear. I say refuse to hear. Once you refuse to hear it, it has no effect. When the person realizes that you have not heard, the person will start asking him or herself, why you haven't heard? But many times, we glorify the devil, and that is why the devil has a way. We glorify the devil by letting the devil know that we are aware of what his presence can do. Just ignore. The Bible says, do not rejoice with unrighteousness. Now we say we love our children, and because the Bible says we shouldn't shout at them, some of our sisters pray them to mean that even if the child is behaving in a certain way, allow the child. I won't do that. The same Bible has said, spare the rod and spoil your child. I won't rejoice with the wrong. If you are able to identify the fact that what is being done is wrong, please act to overcome it. Then the last practical thing, indeed there are a lot of them, but my time is up. The truth of the matter is, all of these things that we are talking about, they are not easy. And that is not strange. That is why at a point in time, Jesus went to the Father and asked the Father for strength. Asamba Anatumu Puruga, when he was on the cross, at a point in time, he should forgive me if he was not doubting. Why did Jesus ask, God, God, why have you forsaken me? Why did he ask that question? He prayed, he asked for God's strength. Then at a point in time, he was still asking that question. And God gave him strength again. And that is why before he died, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. If only all of us will be able to go through this journey and come to this conclusion in our everyday relationship with people, you will never have any problem with anybody. Amen? You will never have any problem with anybody because the way we act towards each other, we simply don't know what we do. If we knew, I'm not sure we would do it. The Jews didn't know what they were doing. And they went through. And so he asked for forgiveness. If we ask God to forgive our partners and our neighbors who wrong us, the world will be a better place. And if we become sincere with ourselves and rebuke ourselves when we feel that we are pushing somebody too hard, the world will become a better place. So we are going to intercede. Indeed, we are going to ask God. The truth of the matter is, I know that except the Lord, I cannot laugh enough. Amen. So we are going to wake up, stand on our feet now, and we are just coming to do two things. The first thing we are coming to do is to acknowledge you know yourself more than myself. When you have not done enough to love your God or to love your neighbor or to love yourself, we are coming to ask for God's forgiveness today. After that, if you have realized that you have any ill will against anybody on earth, whether the person is in your room or somewhere, we are coming to rebuke ourselves today and ask God to give us grace so that this world will be a better place. Mother of mercy, heal our lives, our sweetness and our hopes. To you do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To you do we send up our eyes, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Thank the most gracious advocate, Your eyes of mercy towards us, and after this answer, show unto us the blessed fruit of your Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet, and be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Amen.